This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Eaton Vance High Yield ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find smart bond selection from a specialized team with deep fixed income expertise. Get to know what's inside EVHY, the symbol of high yield done right, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
The U.S. downs more unidentified flying objects. Plus, what it might take to get inflation down to 2%. Some economists think a recession.
Because you'll have higher interest rates that will stifle spending and declining profits that will drive firms to shed workers.
And frustration grows in Turkey over the slow pace of earthquake relief. It's Monday, February 13th. I'm Luke Vargas with the Wall Street Journal. And here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The Pentagon says that a U.S. fighter jet shot down an object flying over Lake Huron Sunday. The Coast Guard is searching for its remains. Officials said it was shot down over Michigan, but appeared to land in Canadian water. The Canadian Defense Minister says that Canada supported the object's downing and will continue to work with the U.S. The U.S. also shot down objects over Alaska on Friday and Canada on Saturday. Those followed the February 4th downing of what the U.S. called a Chinese spy balloon, a characterization that the Chinese Ministry of Foreign Affairs has denied. U.S. officials say that balloon's incursion has forced the North American Aerospace Defense Command to more closely examine radar data and step up the defense of its airspace. We are exclusively reporting that the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has told crypto firm Paxos Trust that it plans to sue the company for violating investor protection laws. That is according to people familiar with the matter who say that the notice alleges that Binance USD, a digital asset issued and listed by Paxos, is an unregistered security. The SEC letter marks the latest move in the agency's escalating campaign in crypto enforcement. The commission did not respond to requests for comment, and a Paxos spokeswoman said that the company is not commenting on any individual matter. Nissan and French automaker Renault plan to invest around $600 million to produce six new models in India, they said today. Two of them will be new electric vehicle models and will be the first EVs made by either company in India. Journal reporter Nick Kostov says the announcement comes a week after the companies unveiled a plan to restructure their partnership to allow them to operate more independently.
What they basically said was that they will discuss a handful of operational projects like this, and if it's good for both companies, then they will come together and they will agree something. And they're also discussing other ways to cooperate in places like Mexico and Argentina. So this is obviously a good sign for their future partnership. It shows that when it's a kind of win-win on both sides, the companies can come together and do something ambitious.
And in sports, the Kansas City Chiefs are Super Bowl champions after defeating the Philadelphia Eagles in a 38-35 shootout in Phoenix, Arizona last night. Kansas City quarterback Patrick Mahomes led a second-half comeback and battled through an ankle injury, earning him MVP honors and securing Kansas City's second Super Bowl victory in the past 4 years. The death toll from last week's earthquake in Turkey and Syria continues to rise. More than 33,000 people have died in the two countries, and rescues at this point are rare. Wall Street Journal audio reporter Daniela Ceslow is in Adana, Turkey, and she joins us now with the very latest. Daniela, welcome. Thank you for being with us.
Hi, Luke. Thanks for having me.
Daniela, could you paint us a picture of what you have been seeing lately?
Yeah, it has been grim. I drove through Antakya yesterday. It's a city of around 400,000 people in southern Turkey, and it was leveled. I mean, I asked where I could get food at a restaurant. None were open. Streets were corridors of wreckage. There was no electricity, and people burned broken furniture for warmth outside the tents they were sleeping in. We still hear of the occasional rescue in Turkey, and there were dogs out looking for people. But this scene you'll hear outside a toppled luxury apartment complex called the Renaissance was much more common. There's another body coming. A crew carried a body bag, and they asked the crowd to clear. Gossip started. It's a teenage boy. How old? They said it was burned. God help us. The crew put the body beside a truck where the military let people check for their family. A man took his turn, and he walked away and sobbed. And Luke, there remain many, many people trapped under rubble, and we're going to see that death toll keep rising as they're found.
Daniela, it is obvious that people there are devastated, but I gather anger is becoming a prevailing emotion now as well.
Yeah, rage is building among people who lost family. Suna Özturk is 57. Her daughter and two grandsons are still trapped in the Renaissance building.
Belediye başkanlığı, hepsi işte sorumlu.
And she says the mayor, the contractors, they should all be held responsible. Authorities have said they arrested 131 people suspected in what the government calls crimes connected to deaths and injuries in destroyed buildings. One was a builder of the Renaissance. His name is Mehmet Coşkun, and he was arrested at Istanbul Airport on his way to Montenegro. He says he built according to code. We've been also speaking to experts in Turkey and overseas. The head of the Chamber of Civil Engineers in Ankara, Tanar Yuzgek, told us collapsed buildings nearly always have some kind of human error. It might be poor concrete quality, it might be poor workmanship or being built on watery soil. And there are also political factors. The Turkish government implemented strict earthquake codes after the deadly 1999 quake, but since then, it's granted zoning amnesties again and again, and hundreds of thousands of buildings were legalized even though they didn't comply with the rules.
From your reporting, Daniela, are you getting the sense that people are receiving now what they need in order to survive?
They need a lot, you know? In the cities affected by earthquakes, tents are going up and rescue workers are handing out food and blankets. I visited a Toyota dealership that was damaged but not destroyed in Antakya. Volunteers had taken over, and we can hear them here sorting through donated clothing and blankets that was piled in the showroom that once held cars. Outside, they cooked pots of rice and meat stew. But it was the tip of the iceberg, and people from surrounding villages lined up asking for food and generators and heaters because aid had been slow to reach them. I spoke to a volunteer named Esma Gulum. In her normal life, she's a real estate agent. She said her people skills were helpful because survivors were getting angry, and she was trying to line up empty homes for victims to live in.
Finally, Daniela, what will you be watching for in the coming days as this recovery plays out?
Beyond the grim task of finding and burying the earthquake victims, the other immediate priority is finding places for people to live. Millions can't go home because this earthquake left even the standing buildings covered in cracks. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has ordered university students to turn over dorm rooms to survivors, and we're seeing reports of cruise ships and ferries being converted into housing, too. Erdogan has promised financial assistance to the victims, but it hasn't come through yet. He is facing rising criticism of his handling of this earthquake. Rescue services he consolidated were overwhelmed by this disaster. At the luxury complex I visited, we heard it took government teams until the second day to arrive. He's months ahead of national elections in mid-May, and how this earthquake unfolds will be critical to his political survival.
That was Wall Street Journal audio reporter Daniela Ceslo in Adana, Turkey. Daniela, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Coming up, what will it take to get U.S. inflation down to the Fed's 2% target? We'll look at some of the leading factors after the break.
This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Eaton Vance High Yield ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find smart bond selection from a specialized team with deep fixed income expertise. Get to know what's inside EVHY, the symbol of high yield done right, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
There is good reason to think that U.S. inflation will continue falling, according to Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell. But exactly how prices can get down to the Fed's 2% goal from the 6.5% consumer price inflation figures seen in December, well, that will depend on a few different factors. And here to discuss those factors with us is Wall Street Journal finance reporter Julie Steinberg. Hey, Julie, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Julie, the cost of goods in the U.S. is still on the rise, though it's not rising as fast as last summer. Why is that? And what does that tell us?
So if you go back to 2021, what we saw is that surging prices for manufactured goods such as autos and furniture, that's what drove much of the initial inflation burst. You had this collision of consumer spending, low interest rates, government stimulus, pandemic habits, as well as blocked up supply chains. Since then, supply chains have mostly healed, and consumer demand has shifted back toward services from goods. Ultimately, that means prices for core goods rose 12.3% from a year earlier in February 22, and rose just 2.1% from a year earlier in December 2022.
Okay, so some easing there, and yet in a different area, rent remains high. Do we see any signs of housing inflation relief in sight?
There is. Economists expect this category to continue rising through the spring, but then to decelerate. One economist, for example, thinks shelter inflation will fall from 8.1% in March to 5.3% by December.
And Julie, are there any other inflation indicators we should be watching?
You have what are called core service prices, which exclude food, energy, goods, and shelter. And that's still running at around 4%. And what Mr. Powell has said is that until that drops, it sees itself as having a lot of work left to do.
And Julie, taken all together, what do these indicators suggest about the chance for a recession?
Economists who expect inflation to fall back to the Fed's target by year end generally expect a recession to help facilitate that, because you'll have higher interest rates that will stifle spending and declining profits that will drive firms to shed workers, ultimately pushing unemployment up from January's 53-year low of 3.4%.
That was Wall Street Journal finance reporter Julie Steinberg. Julie, thanks for the update.
Thank you.
And finally, the secret to being a star at work right now might be a simple one. Use your common sense, be polite, and have a positive attitude. Wall Street Journal On the Clock careers columnist Callum Borchers says that at a time when workplace ambition is down, it's the little things that can help you stand out and maybe even snag some extra pay.
The people who are willing to put in just a little bit extra. Again, it doesn't have to be that 70-hour work week. But hey, there's a deadline coming up and I'm willing to work a little bit late so that we make sure we hit that deadline. That thing sort of stands out at a time when some people are like, listen, I clock out at 5 and respect my boundaries. I also hear from people who will say, you know, I'm willing to just do little favors for my coworkers. You know, I spoke with one woman, for example, who says when somebody comes to me with a question, instead of saying, yeah, I'll go find the answer for yourself, she's gotten very adept at just looking things up real quick in old emails, or maybe it's an internal company document, or even a Google search, and offering the answer, then it's just something that really ingratiates her to her colleagues and her boss. And it's something that she thinks is a fairly light lift, but it's one of the things that makes her shine.
And that's What's News for Monday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.